The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every Monday, get to speak to State Party Chairman Drew McKissick. Drew, you had a big event this week with my TV boyfriend. That's what I call Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo. I love this guy. You know why? Because he's like a guy's guy. He's a real man. He's not a wimp.
He is totally a guy's guy, totally down to earth. Great guy to just sit down and have a conversation with. You know, especially when you consider the breadth of experience he's had on the world stage. I mean, you know, spent 2 years as CIA director, 2 years as Secretary of State for President Trump. He was, I think, 4 terms in Congress before that. I found out just prior to this, he actually served on the Republican National Committee for 3 years. So the guy has a party background, too. So I respect him even more.
So he's going to be a great president. You heard it here. He's going to be a great president.
I need to tell him he needs to put you on his email list.
No, I want to be a spokesperson. Kick Jen Psaki aside. I got a new job I'm aiming for.
Well, he did a great job. We had a great crowd. It was a little over, I think, 950 people, I believe, was the total. It was capacity, the first capacity event that the Convention Center in Columbia has had, you know, since restrictions have been lifted. It was, you know, again, just a celebration of a party, our 54th annual Silver Elephant event. First speaker we ever had back in 67 was Ronald Reagan. And then moving forward in time now, we've had so many presidents, future presidents and governors and senators and so forth. And, you know, you may have been looking at there at a future president. You never know. So, but his remarks were to the point. As he told me when we spoke on the phone prior to his coming, he said he was looking forward to coming and delivering some red meat and not having to be a diplomat for a change. And he did that. It was good. But like you said, I mean, he is truly a star in the conservative firmament right now, if you will.
Well, I hope he has a long future there, because we really need somebody with his, truly his diplomatic skills, his intelligence, and his ability to work across the aisle. Unfortunately, we have to do that. They don't ever have to do that, but we do. Hey, let me move you on. Thanks. Hey, Drew, let me move you on. The governor has come out quite clearly. The South Carolina is not going to follow the nation. We're going to lead the nation. What are you hearing down in the hallowed halls of the statehouse?
Well, appreciation for him standing strong on this, despite the fact that the folks at the CDC seem to be trying to implement the folks over in Tokyo at the Olympics, you know, doing flip-flops and back and forth and so forth, just enough to make your head spin and not really knowing exactly from day to day what their message is. You know, talk about a lack of consistency. You know, for folks who all along have been telling us, well, we're just following the science. We're just following the science. Well, you know, apparently science is fairly hectic here lately. You know, the governor has been direct, and he was direct again Friday night, actually, in his remarks. And I think he was on Fox News Sunday yesterday, basically delivering the same message. You know, we're not closing down. We're not going to have mask mandates. We're not having mask mandates in schools. Actually, we now have passed the, you know, proviso in the state budget here last month that makes it illegal now to require masks in schools. This is an issue for parents to decide on behalf of their children. So there's not going to be, you know, should not be because of that, any tension between the local school districts and the parents. This has been settled by the state, and the governor is totally backing up that message.
So what would happen if a school district decided, we don't care what the governor says, we're going to demand masks? What's a parent's recourse?
Well, the recourse then would be to take them to Attorney General Alan Wilson, because, again, the budget proviso that was passed, it is state law now for at least a year. You know, budget provisos expire after 1 year. So the idea was they got this put in the budget so that they can come back in January and try to make this a permanent law. But in the meantime, it is still it is existing state law for the next 11 months. It is illegal to require masks in public schools or universities in South Carolina.
How about at a football game? Sorry to interrupt, Drew. How about football games?
As far as I know, that applies there as well.
Okay.
Don't hold me to that. I'm about 90% sure on that, but I'm pretty confident that's the case.
So as long as you were on a campus, because I thought I thought a couple of campuses were kind of telling their students they've got to do this.
Well, now, if we're talking about public campuses, though, I don't believe they can do that as per the budget proviso.
That's
an issue to take up with the Attorney General. But private would be different. That's right.
Okay, good. Well, thank you for that clarification. I had the Lieutenant Governor on last week. We have her every week, Pamela Evett, rock star. And she was just saying that, you know, she's traveling across the state. Businesses have been very appreciative of the leadership in South Carolina to let them go back to work.
Well, you know, businesses appreciate consistency. They appreciate stability. You know, I mean, these are people who are investing money and trying to make plans to get returns on their money and actually organize a business, hire employees, and do the things they need to do to be successful. The worst thing for business is lack of stability and inconsistency out of government. So what you're seeing coming out of government in South Carolina is stability and it is consistency. It makes it easier for them to get back to work, plan around their future and in terms of hiring and employees and all the expenses that go along with that, and not have to worry about, you know, here in Columbia, seeing what we've had happen in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. Hey, Drew, I just have a kind of off-the-wall question. I know you're not surprised. So I've been listening and talking this morning about the emergency extension of the eviction ban and how it, you know, it kind of snuck. They say it snuck up on them, but we've known for months, people. Hello, hello. And yet, as I was reading the information, I was real surprised that House Majority Whip James Clyburn, a very liberal member of the House, basically said, yeah, it was inconvenient. Is there anyone running against him up in that area?
Well, at the moment, no one official. There are a few folks that have reached out and we've had conversations. But, you know, right now, most people are waiting for the new district lines to get drawn. As you know, they're going to be redistricting this fall here in, say, September. So hopefully see new district lines passed by October. Maybe we end up in federal court over them. Maybe we don't.
No, we will. Mark my words. We will.
It's a good bet.
Yeah.
But it's easier for folks to actually make a definitive plan around, you know, a big undertaking like that when they know what the district lines are going to look like, especially in a district like Clyburn's.
Okay, very good. Hey, Drew, always glad to have you. The time is 8:30. I've got to run to quick break, and I look forward to speaking to you next week. Drew McKissick is chairman.
Thank you, ma'am.
You're welcome. Chairman of the Republican Party here in the great state of South Carolina.